I'm Isander.
And I am Coda.
And today we're going to be talking about Mr. Steal Your Girl, the Gene Stealers, in all their glory. And it is an episode you have committed to so much it upsets me.
If my jeans were going to get stolen, I wanted extras to have around.
Jean shirt, jean jacket, jeans, jean shoes.
Jean shoes.
I'm surprised no jean socks or jean gloves.
Again, I think I would.
No jean balaclava. You couldn't breathe through a jean balaclava. That's suffocating yourself with extra steps.
If we do jean stealers too.
No, we're not doing that.
Again, I just wanted extra jeans to have around just in case mine got stolen.
Ugh, whatever. As always, be sure to check out the Patreon where you can get a bonus episode every single week. That's right. For all of you who have finished and binged everything here, there is quite literally twice as much somewhere else, as well as access to the Discord, a bunch of other perks, monthly live streams, and you help us keep the show running. And you can do all of that by heading on over to Patreon.com/IsanderandCoda. This week I will be covering the different variants of the Gene Stealers, because it's not just a human problem.
It's not just a human problem.
Chaos has their hands on them too. And that is always fantastic. So if you want to check that out, head on over there.
Chaos Gene Stealers sounds awful.
They worship Nurgle.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, that's awful, awful. That's bad, bad.
We'll get to that later.
Bad, bad, not good.
We will get to that later. So now we'll start with stuff that is completely not canon anymore.
Not canon anymore.
Completely irrelevant. It does not pertain to the Gene Stealers at all, pretty much.
Uncanon
but
stuff.
But that's important. If you haven't been watching, you will know that I quite like old 40K, because it's funky, if we had to put it to a word. It's one of my favorite things about it. It has existed in a time period with such good recording that we can see all of it. Everything. Because much like most people out there, 40K has not always had its act together, let's say. It has had some weird period. You know that one image of Homer Simpson, like, looking really hot for Marge? And then the camera pans behind him, and it's like 100 rubber bands.
It's 100 paper clips holding back his extremely loose skin.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. 40K is like that sometimes, where you look at it, and it's like, whoa, this is a property that's very interesting with hundreds of books, and the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, and is that Obi-Wan Sherlock Clouseau? Who is, in fact, I found this out recently, the first Inquisitor. Not any.
The first.
He was the guy who first got that paperwork, I think. And that's a fact that they could. I need to get a first edition Rogue Trader book so I can, like, properly read through it and I'm not dealing with kind of shoddy scans from the internet.
What?
I need to locate one because there's some stuff floating around in there that I would like to read.
Dude.
Old 40K is so much fun.
Dude.
Oh my god. Nowadays.
What the hell?
The Gene Stealers have been very conveniently folded into the Tyranid Vanguard, right? They are the first portion of any successful invasion and serve many, 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 many points we'll get to later. Don't worry about that.
We talked about this in the. We kind of brushed over it in the Tyranid video.
Kind of. There's a lot more to it, actually.
Really?
This is why I love so much detail.
There's more to it.
In the Tyranid video,
I figured there was more to it, but, like, what other sketchy shit are they doing?
This is why I love 40K, because there's a whole Tyranid video you should watch. It's very good. I quite like it. It's one of my favorites. There's a whole Tyranid video, and, like, maybe 5 minutes of it are Gene Stealers, right? If you zoom in and see everything they did to make that happen, it's going to be a whole hour in and of itself. And then you could zoom in even further, and it's like, oh, my God.
It's one of those.
40K, you can just keep going and going and going. There's so much detail.
It's one of those infinite fractal videos.
Yeah, pretty much. I love it. So that's what they do nowadays, and that will come in later. Back in old 40K, it was just
ancient texts.
Weird moon cult.
Weird moon cult.
Just a thing that was happening in the corner, that they were all blue and bald and quite concerning. But it was one of those things where, listen, that sucks. The Eldar suck harder, okay?
So they
we will deal with that later.
They weren't a Tyranid thing yet.
No, it was just a problem on a world somewhere that the Imperium said, we will fix this at some point.
There's just a weird blue man group running around just doing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. They were just hard ripoffs of the alien from Alien.
Except blue.
Yeah, yeah. They even did the whole xenomorph thing where they plant an egg inside you and just poof, out the chest in the most visceral way imaginable.
Yeah, I really hate those scenes.
I love that scene.
Body horror makes me upset.
I love that scene because it is genuinely commendable how good they got it to look at that time. Because think about it. Today, it'd just be like a bunch of CG everywhere. But and it looks mostly disgusting. Practical.
Yeah, practical effects.
It's the same reason why I love the old Jurassic Park. The T-Rex has like 2 minutes of screen time
total.
It's
the reason why I can watch the original The Thing, and it actually disgusts me to the point where I need to leave the room for a little bit because I'm going to throw up if I don't.
I haven't seen The Thing, but I need to.
It's all practical effects. It's all body horror, and it's all...
You're not going to like the old Gene Stealer's Zone because that's their whole gimmick.
Yay!
I mean, they would slash you with a weapon and there's a chance that chest burster would come out.
Ick.
I mean, later on. Like, oh, you survive a cut in battle 6 months later. Congratulations!
Sans face hugger, but they do a full body horror thing.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. 40K decided to grow up a little bit. Honestly, kind of for the better, because the logistics of this moon cult did not really hold up upon closer scrutiny.
How do you mean?
If you look at it, this is real. This is genetics 101 here. The moon cult reproduces with other species, right? With each successive cycle, there is less of them in there, until eventually you get to the point where it's like you're just basically human now. You're just predisposed to being bald.
And so, blue.
So basically a man whose mother's father went bald. That's it. That's all you were. Nothing special.
You're just the blue man group.
Yeah. You don't even get the Vegas residency. None of that. You just were a weirdo
blue
guy.
No Vegas residency. No plumber's tube drums. No weird choreography. You're just blue and bald.
Yeah. So it was kind of a problem that you could not make any more... true gene stealers past a certain point. So the way this was fixed is they had this leech thing they got it on with, and that was the only way they could ever make a real gene stealer. Yeah, it's not canon anymore, but that was a thing back in the day. So that's not what they are anymore, thank God. They kept a lot of it. They still have razor-sharp melee weapons that will cut through space marines like butter. That is a thing. They are always universally horrifying in melee combat.
Space marines.
Yes.
And they hit them with the full katana tatami mat routine.
Yup. I told you, we didn't even begin to touch on the Gene Stealers.
For frightening.
Yeah. It's so cool. They're so much fun.
How much force and how much of a swing would you need to make to cut a space
marine? I cannot tell if it is sheer force doing it or sharpness of the object. Because space marines are very heavily armored. They're very thick individuals. At some point, it's not just the... At some point, you vex me. At some point, it's not just the sharpness of the object we're dealing with here, but rather the sheer force behind... Have you gotten your... Are you done yet? Finished?
No.
They're a bit like fridges, man.
No.
All of them. Look at the Space Marine trailers.
The image that immediately came to mind was around Doom Eternal. There were a bunch of stupid meme images that were circulating. One of them being the Doom Slayer looking up at like a gore nest. And he's just posing dramatically with the Crucible sword in hand and his ass is out.
Things you use the internet for. It's a tool meant to let you access.
That was the first image.
Any
that came
and
to mind.
Every bit of information you could want, Alexandria is at your fingertips.
A space marine,
and you ran to that section.
A space marine, looking up at a Tyranid hive queen with chainsword in hand, just ass out. Full armor, just ass out.
Yeah, sure, why not? So they can still do that to Space Marines, I suppose. The weird leech thing is gone, and they're now in your walls. That's kind of the whole thing.
So they stole the Night Guards thing? Night Lords, excuse me.
Oh, the comments are going to be rife for that one.
I'm no, sorry, they Lords, didn't. Please don't.
They didn't necessarily
please don't be
do
in
that.
My walls.
The real best way to describe them is by their own words, which you look at images of the Gene Stealers. It's not exactly Shakespeare, but you read about the Gene Stealers. It's a little bit of William's work. I'm not going to lie. They have some fantastic quotes. They describe themselves as the vanguard for the inevitable.
Cole, that is hard.
And that's just one of them.
That's giving...
I will scatter more throughout this video. They are so confident.
That's giving Mass Effect Reapers quotes.
Yeah, pretty much.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. Nowadays... The best way you could really look at them is by looking at the various generations, because each generation kind of does a different thing. It's like the life cycle of a bug, basically. And it kind of does the same thing on every planet it goes to, so that's the way we're going to take a look at it this time, okay?
Another timeline video.
Kind of. It's more like a life cycle of an insect. A bug's life. Yeah. So Gen 1 is pure Gene Stealers. You could not miss these guys even if you were blind. I'm talking Stevie Wonder courtside seats could tell. Which, by the way, never mind, I'm not going to get into that. maybe he just really wants to hear the game. I don't know. But they are full bore, like spare limbs, purple skin, just scales everywhere, sharpened teeth, claws, they reek, they slobber. You look at them, you're like, oh yeah, you're definitely a Tyranid. Like, clearly.
Clearly. That you are not human at all. Not in any sense of the word.
That's a good thing, though. Because you'll never see them. Gen 1, if you spot a Gen 1 Gene Stealer, it's lost. Game over. They've lost.
Oh.
mission failed. it's that do or die. If you see one, it's over.
No chance.
No chance at all. So they
already know the invasion's coming.
Yeah.
Get off my
so
world.
So they tend to keep, especially if that world has like an Inquisitor on it, or like a single Space Marine who's, what was that?
That poor.
Because I love Space Marines sometimes, because when Space Marines have two modes. They're either very, 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 very unfathomably cool or hyper fixated on their jobs. And so you'll either have the best swordsman ever who can cut through anyone with a single glance, or I've seen those 3 pixels before, kill it now. And if you don't trust him, those 3 pixels will become a serious problem. So Gen 1, it is imperative that they just hide. There's no run, run, hide, fight, it's just run and hide. There's no fight.
No fight.
They keep mostly to the dark. They are the New York sewer gators, effectively.
That's what I was just about to say.
It's the kind of thing where, hey, did you see that last night? I don't know, it was the weirdest thing. Probably like a local myth or something.
These are things that you'd see on like found footage films that are just like a blur. Like,
yes.
Oh, did you hear about the Dover Demon or some shit? Did you hear about the Wendigo sighting?
Exactly. The kind of thing where your average Joe just goes, it's probably not real. Your CIA agent goes, what? You saw what?
You saw,
Excuse me?
Hmm?
So the way these guys recruit is they will kind of just hide and lie in wait and until they find a single victim alone. So, you know, don't walk around alone at night, I suppose. Right. And from there, you'll get grabbed.
I assume that the fun part starts now here. And by fun, I mean... not fun at all. Like the full body horror, body snatchers, the thing action happening. There's a face screaming on the ground right now.
The face screaming comes later.
Awesome.
Do you remember the face huggers from Alien? So I think that's how we're going to do this.
I'd imagine, yeah.
Or in Stranger Things, the way the mind flare gets people.
Where it just...
Yeah, and then just... Yeah, same premise. Uh-huh. Same basic premise. For the most part, actually, if you've watched Stranger Things, they kind of operate the same way.
Where a weird meat puppet attaches tendrils to your face and then starts plopping eggs down your throat or something?
Instead of all that, it's just a really long, very barbed tongue. Told you. Yeah. And it splices your genes with theirs.
Hmm.
Yeah, apparently, this one's dodgy, I'm not too sure. I think that's how we, bacteria, just swap genes. Like, actually.
Like a weird tendril just, like, sticks out, grabs another...
I think it's, like, horizontal genetic It's been a while since I've taken any classes on this. Horizontal genetic transfer, I think. It's just like, barb in you, quick splices, what I know, this is what you know. Moving on.
Mm.
Real cordial. Very polite.
Well, one of the cells in this operation did not consent to this action, so
yeah.
I would not call it cordial.
Yeah. We'll get to that later. another similarity they have with the Mind Flayer is they do have, it's not one big meat puppet kind of a thing. They do have one Gene Stealer above all, and it's quite literally just whoever was oldest. If that one happens to die, who was second oldest? Okay, cool. He's in charge.
Okay.
It's almost orc levels of organized where...
Who is the biggest gene stealer?
Yeah. Here? Well, actually, the oldest will become the biggest. We'll get to that later. You're getting ahead of yourself. But it's not size-based. It's age-based. It's like the royal family, pretty much. Of who's the oldest? Okay, who's the second oldest? Moving on. Oh, no, because they have weird rules of succession. It's not technically the second oldest who goes. It's a kid of... It's age-based, okay? It's age-based. So if you're 89 and he's 88, if you die, the 88-year-old takes charge, and the 87-year-old, and the 86-year-old, and it just goes on and on until we get to the resident toddler. Imagine Hopefully
if,
we never do.
Imagine if the royal family was size-based instead of age-based.
The implications behind that.
Why did that snap you in half?
No, the implications, because like the moment Charles marries Diana, she'd grow taller. And Meghan Markle would have gone from a regular sized person to being slightly taller. It's just the implications of it.
Is this why Queen Elizabeth passed? She was shrinking.
Oh my god! Oh my god! And then there's just the concept of Big Elizabeth. May God rest her soul. There's just so much to unpack. And then
Big Elizabeth.
No. It's the premise of Charles walking around in public, and everyone finds out about the Queen's passing because he just got like 2 feet taller. He's like in a Tesco grabbing bread or something. Boom, head bumps through the ceiling. Oh no.
Mummy. Jesus Christ.
You are going to make this episode so difficult to get through.
Why did that grab you and snap you in half?
I'm sorry, that was
a throwaway joke. Yes. Why did that grab you by the spine and snap you in half?
It is because the royal family does not occupy as much headspace as it does in England. So it's just if you grew up with British news and you just saw how like often you saw the royals, the implications behind it get really weird really fast.
Do you think like the BBC would have like a running like size counter for each of the
A running height chart for sure, guaranteed. anyway, after you get gotten by the gene stealers. After you get gotten by the gene stealers, you will usually black out pretty much immediately after.
I'd probably black out during that process. It sounds painful.
I don't know if it is. But you will black out and you will wake up with no memory of that specific instance.
Okay.
For you, it'll be like
full mind flare.
Yeah, pretty much. It'll be your day, yada, yada, yada. Oh, weird. I blacked out and crashed on the side of the road.
Why am I here? How did I get here?
I don't know, but I got to call 911. I must have fallen asleep while driving. But then as the time goes on, you have this sudden, just visceral urge to have kids. Like the whole nine, start a family. And I don't mean like, oh, you know, like one kid, two kid. I'm talking like, you know, the photos of like old families back in the 1900s with like dad, mom, 15 kids. Because five of you are going to dysentery. Five of you are going to war. The other five of you, well, I don't even know what's going to get you, but you something.
Have an entire school room in your household.
There is no nursery. Your nursery is just the barn, effectively. Like, it's that level of, I just need to have kids. And when you do that, You will also infect whoever you get in contact with. You won't have a 5-foot tongue, but you will inadvertently. I don't know if it's you or the kid, but something there will mess with them.
This just in. Tyranids, STI.
Yep.
Okay.
They can't remember, kids. Don't be silly. what the kids you happen to have.
Be safe. Put on a coat.
Yeah. We'll go on to be Gen 2. And they are a face not even a mother could love. No, that's not a joke. There is actual effort that goes in. Like the cult will put in actual psychic effort to ensure that the way you view Gen 2 is not accurate. Because if you're able to actually look at them, oh God, even though you're brainwashed, you'd see right through this.
Yeah.
It is rough. It is like the beta test of your genes mixing. They are effectively animals. They are slobbering. They are moving around. There's spare limbs sticking out everywhere. It's real rough. It's very rough. Gen 2's not very useful in a traditional sense. They're great bodies, don't get me wrong. If you happen to stumble upon the cult, you will get swarmed by these things and they will kill you.
Frightening. Yeah.
Very effectively, but they're not right.
That boy ain't right.
That boy ain't right. They do serve a very important purpose, though, because their genetics will go on to make Gen 3. And the reason Gen 2 matters so much is because you can tweak Gen 3 for special roles.
How so?
Gen 3 is effectively a sack of genes, and they just fucking swing it around. Bam! Gen 3 comes out. And Gen 3 is kind of whatever they need. It's less of a slobbering mess and can speak some of the local language.
Less of the slobbering mess.
Again, it's still like a genetic sack we're swinging around here.
Okay.
It's not the most accurate thing. But this is really where it's getting its... They're hitting their stride. You will see a bunch of Gen 3s that come out really, really strong or really, really fast. This is when the cult is just kind of playing around to see what are the limits of this new batch of code that we have? What can we really crank out? And these guys are very useful because, okay, cool. Well, the cult needs more iron. Let's make 10 guys with 5 arms who can all bench Arnold's body weight with a single hand. Suddenly a fantastic... The labor force sorted out immediately. The defense force sorted out immediately. Scouting force sorted out immediately. You have a very effective, though rudimentary, army.
Okay, I see these guys' strategy. I'm starting to see this.
Yes, at this point, the tree's starting to take roots. It's pretty hard to get them done.
Because
you have to remember, these are not happening in a nice, neat order. There's still some Gen 1s snatching people up and making them into Gen 2s, while Gen 3s are still being cooked up. So this is all happening at the same time.
This is not congruent. This is just like...
It's more like one thing will happen, and then another branch will happen, and it'll keep happening concurrently, and then another branch will happen, and it'll keep happening concurrently, and it's this just and it's a snowball.
I'd imagine if you've seen, like, time lapses of, like... bacterium cultivation with them in the agar petri dishes where you have a dot and then it starts to grow and then you have another dot and then it starts and a dot and then I'd imagine that's how it goes.
That is the perfect analogy. That's fantastic. Gen 4 will come next and they are where it starts getting sketchy because they can blend in now. They can speak the language competently, and they can do outward recruitment.
They have recruitment offices?
Yeah.
Do they just sit outside of schools saying, hey, you can buy a Camaro?
Why must you do this to me? No, the Gen 4 represents a very big leap because they have a new form available now. Because before, their previous version of recruitment was, whoops! Stepped on the wrong sewer grate there, buddy. Ever wonder what 5 foot of tongue tastes like? Yeah, it's horrific. It's not great. These guys are subtle. They're not fully, like, hard recruiters. It's more like this guy you'll meet at the bar, dimly lit at night, and he's just talking to you, and he's real friendly, you know? Or it's this new guy at your local TCG just kind of joining in for games. Again, dimly lit, dimly lit, dimly lit, or wrapped up. Or the sales guy who says, hey, we have all this food that's going to go bad in the evening. If you come back then, we can give you a hell of a deal.
Loan sharks.
It's not quite loan sharks. It's people who genuinely seem nice to you, but always want you to meet them at a secondary location.
Never go to a secondary location.
Yeah. Never.
Never.
Ever. As with every generation beforehand, there's some fine tuning that goes here. So it goes from rather kind people who kind of blend into society if you don't look too hard or they're a bit too clothed to just very, very competent bodyguards that far exceed Gen 3 and can match Eldar in combat. Yeah, Gen 4 gets funky. I told you.
Whoa.
Yeah, and not just any Eldar. It's the ones who guard those shrines we mentioned last episode.
Whoa.
It's a hell of a leap, isn't it?
Whoa.
To their actual final, the height of Gen 4, which is kind of just terrorism. I mean, it's slight. We have to take a slight detour at this point to explain. Because a lot so far, we've only really covered the more forceful ways that get you to join their after-school program, or the more one-on-one ways that get you to join the after-school program. But as you can imagine, that's not a good way to get the ball rolling. You know, so because for every one recruit you have, you need to send one recruit out to get them. Kind of limits things. You want, for every one, you get two, or three, or four, or five. Yeah, that is a much more ideal.
It speeds up that process. Now you've got like a you're cubing it.
And especially when you consider hive cities can have billions of people in them. Going door to door is not going to cut it. It's just not an effective means of recruitment.
There's no way that you can have the Gene Stealers just out there going, two by two, we're going door to...
Yeah, no, they can't do that. So they have to turn to manipulation to get what they want, specifically looking for the downtrodden.
Yeah, it is a cult.
And,
it is a cult.
Oh, they go through the whole playbook. They will offer you a way out. They will tell you I can fix all your problems. And if I can't fix them, I will make it easier for you. Things are terrible right now, and it's that thing's fault. Yes. Once we deal with that one thing, things will go back to the way they should be, the way they were.
So this is literally where we hit the cult part of Gene Stealer cult.
This is where it begins. This is where it begins. It can even be as innocuous as just interest-based clubs. Next time you go to Commander Night, there's that new guy there again, but he tells us he's got a buddy who has this great space we can use instead. We should all go there. And it's like, you chose the pictures. It's pretty sick. Dude's got a pool. That's pretty tight. Let's go there. It's or the Warhammer tourney is being moved across town to this other secondary location.
Never go to a secondary location.
Because you guys have always wanted to hold a tournament there, but management's always been kind of awful to you. But suddenly they've had a hell of a change of heart. Thanks to that one new guy. He's super tight. Let's go. I even brought a van for us.
a van?
It's sketchy, and it comes with a smile on its face.
If I see a panel van with a smile on it, a smiley face on it? Mm-hmm. No.
But this does not always work because some Imperial worlds are really well run. Not every world has such easily exploitable weaknesses. If you want to find the downtrodden, you have to have downtrodden. Most Imperial worlds have so many downtrodden. Oh my god. This is not a normal problem. Let me be clear.
Look at a hive city.
Yeah, let me be clear. This is not a struggle for them normally. However, it can happen. There are some places where it's effectively governed. Or there are paradise worlds where, why are you wearing a turtleneck? It's 90 and we have 17 hours of daylight forever. Dude, put some board shorts on.
Every beach here is a nude beach. Mm-hmm. Why are you wrapped up in bandages?
Or it could be just as simple as you landed on a planet and yeah, there's quite a bit of squalor, but there's an Inquisitor watching from orbit. Good luck getting anything started with them looking.
It's literally got Sauron's eye looking all over the place.
Oh, yes. This is when the Kellermorphs are created and they are a figurehead. They are the... This is when... The cult has it down Because this whole time, if you've noticed, they've been experimenting, they've been learning, they've been tweaking. It's to create a Kellermorph proves, A, that they've mastered the genetic code they're borrowing from, because a Kellermorph is faster, stronger, it is outright terrifying, and can beat Marines.
So we're hitting like Xenomorph Queen levels.
A Kellermorph is horrifying. On top of that, it also proves that they've mastered the populace's psyche, because a Kellermorph will always look like the hero they want. Always. It's you know the way people romanticize like the cowboys on the Old West who fought the law and won, right? Or like the mafia back in the day, rum runners. As it turns out, your average Joe likes it when someone sticks it to the man. Doubly so if the guy doing it is one of them. You know?
Yeah.
And so they will, for them to put out a Kellermorph, it will be a folk hero, effectively, built perfectly to the tolerances of that world. So if your world is, you know, pretty stringent, they wouldn't really take well to a guy with three arms, Clint Eastwood will arrive. Actual Clint Eastwood, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Clint Eastwood with three revolvers.
No, two. Again, if the world is super duper intolerant, right? Mm. If this is a hive city where there's sludge everywhere and yeah, people just have six fingers sometimes, then a Kellermorph will come in with four arms. Because it's like, look, all of us have been downtrodden for having these limbs. He has four extra arms and is using them to spite them. And we can do this.
Then we get four revolvers?
Yeah, and then you get four revolvers.
Yay.
There's actually one in Magic who I think has three.
That's kind of awesome.
Really cool. And so this figurehead serves as like, oh my God, how is he? If he can do it, so can we. And so it'll give them something to strive to, something to try and find. And this figure will always have the symbols of the cult hidden in little ways on them. And so they'll go, okay, so if I associate with that, I can become like him. And so they will seek out the cult and then come to them. And it's so funny. At the point Kellermorphs are being deployed, this is pretty much over.
It's done.
Because, oh, I didn't even mention the most important thing. They've mastered the genetic code, they've mastered the psyche, and they have effective manufacturing.
Oh, yeah, it's over.
Because the Kellermorphs, I almost forgot this, the Kellermorphs are not just armed with regular, you know, revolvers, or, you know, the typical strength that can carve through a Marine. Mm-hmm. Pistols that can pierce tanks.
Yep, it's over. Yeah. It's done. That's it.
And some of the most convincing Kellermorphs will actually get whole hive populaces to work with them to obtain depleted radioactive materials to forge into more powerful weapons. These people will die, expose themselves to radiation because, oh my God, Superman has arrived.
Superman has arrived and he needs more depleted uranium bullets for his 50 mil six shooter.
And that's not questionable at all when you consider I've been stuck under the thumb of that governor this whole time. This guy could fix it.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's so Jover.
Yeah. Gen 4 is, the roots are in and they're strangling every tree nearby now.
It's so extremely Jover.
It's done. So Gen 5, it's a wrap. This is the best of the best.
There's a Gen 5?
Yeah.
There's room for that.
Yes. There's a Gen 5. This is the best of the best they have. This is when the full horror of the cult is brought to bear as they bring out countless unknown numbers of guys suffering from male pattern baldness.
Awesome. Is this where we hit Blue Man Group again?
Yeah, no, it's just normal looking people.
Oh, cool.
Nope. And I don't mean Blue Man Group, just like slightly.
Oh, bad. Just bald?
Just some are bald. Just some, bald. Some are a little too blue, but like, you know, poor ventilation. Yeah. Like Gen 5, the horrors of Gen 5, taxpaying citizens.
The worst thing that could be brought upon a person, baldness, alopecia.
No, not all of them are bald. Just some of them are bald.
Just some of them?
Yeah, just some of them are bald.
Oh.
The art really overemphasizes it. Like, they can be hot.
But they're not full Lex Luthers?
No. They're just normal. I mean, the only way you would tell that they're gene stealers is if you blood tested them. That's pretty much it.
And then you'd just discover what is...
Mm-hmm.
What are all these spikes doing on your blood cells?
These guys hold jobs, walk around in broad daylight, join clubs.
Exist, be normal.
No more cloak and dagger.
Oh, they just own the place now.
They're yeah, that's it's there's no longer, oh, there's that shady guy at the bar, or oh, this guy only shows up at night, or oh, the Keller Morph only shows up when we need him the most. No, they can run for office now.
Oh.
Which means that if your world has democracy, it's gonna die in broad daylight.
Yeah,
as they take up any and every position that will give them influence. They will run for office. They will tweak and put out Keller Morphs that are the most charismatic things you've ever seen, just to whip people up into a frenzy. They will create not Keller Morphs, but just regular gene stealers who can do that. They will create, like, let's say a world is super into athletics. They'll just put out Michael Jordan because they can do that. They'll just say, oh, okay, so you really like sports. What's the maximum logically that a human could grow? Okay, cool. What's the strongest reasonably that a human could be? Okay, cool. And congratulations.
Well, because at this point, they've mastered genetic tampering so mm-hmm. much. It's just.
And it's not, you think it's just the heights that they're doing it, but no. They will bother to put out a guy who's slightly overweight, hairline's kind of thinning, does not know how to put on a fitting shirt, and they'll have him run for city council. Like, can't make eye contact with the camera to save his life, and they'll have him just.
That's a perfect city council member.
Yeah. If they've gotten to this point, it is horrifying. It's a much simpler question to ask, what aren't they involved in? It is, they are anywhere and everywhere, and it doesn't matter what kind of world it is. If you have if you're on a super duper royalist world where you worship the night houses, they will put out a complete bombshell just to go and seduce one of the royals and then get into the family that way.
This is the point that your crazy conspiracy theorist uncle, this is their actual reality.
Yeah, yeah. You seem insane if you try and call it out at this point. No, you don't understand. They're all part of a scheme together, guys. Yeah. You look crazy.
The birds aren't real. They're cameras for... Birds aren't real. They are cameras for the CIA.
The world is lost at this point, and they don't even know it. At this point... It's not just producing the height of just this generation, like the height of the previous one was a Keller Morphs. And at the very peak of this, they can start putting out proper psychers.
They can what?
Mm-hmm. These guys, if you look closely, you can tell that they're gene stealers. They have really heavy set bones and kind of big heads, but all psychers look pretty weird, so.
I mean, come on,
the Navigator's got a third eye. We don't really question them. So, yeah, they can start putting out psychers now, as well as generals who are so competent, it borders on precognition.
That's frightening.
Yeah. And now that we're at the height of the cult, it's time to bring that patriarch back into the conversation. Because this whole time, they have been the mind behind it all. And the way it works is a gestalt consciousness, and each member adds to it.
So... Yeah, we've done gestalt consciousness before. It's the flood. Come to mind. There aren't a lot that are notable.
It's not just extra brain power it gets that's really helpful. It gets quite a bit of psychic might from having a bunch of minds connected to it. Enough psychic might that it goes from being like, you know, though you can see most psychers in the warp kind of if you squint hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a beacon like Big E is. Which is where the Tyranids come in.
Oh. Okay, this is kind of cool because this is just like, this is the point where we're hitting evolutionary science here.
Yeah.
Like these things are just bred to infiltrate a populace and make it look as bright as possible and ready for the Tyranids. And the Tyranids are
and
just
like,
oh, hi.
And they use it to navigate the way everyone else uses Big E to navigate. This is why they're so close to my heart. They fit in with the Tyranids so well. And even the best thing is, like, you beat me to my point. It totally works from an evolutionary perspective because, I mean, look at that.
It just functions.
It just functions so well. Also, it works with the retcons included. Because think about it. The first ever gene stealer cult being seen from the Imperium's eyes, yeah, a bunch of weird bald guys.
Bald blue people.
Yeah, it's just a weirdo. Of course, they would totally, if you assume we're looking at 40K through the Imperium's eyes, which we do tend to for a lot of the time, they would totally just chalk it up to just a bunch of weirdos on a moon cult that is completely unrelated to the bugs coming in from stage left. Those are two different problems. We'll deal with them later. Let's deal with the bugs now, and then the bald freaks will come in later.
Well, I mean, you look at that. It's just like, that guy over there is just bald. That thing has bones so sharp it can slice space marines in half.
Mm-hmm. Just round them up in a corner, and then we will deal with the thing descending from the heavens. Why do I hear cheering behind me? Why are they celebrating? Uh-oh.
It's my favorite Sam O'Neill bit.
Their job is to pave the way, and they do it fantastically. The Tyranids are always balancing a budget. I don't care what faction you think in 40K has the most hard math to do. It's the Tyranids every day of the week. War costs money. Just ask the Pentagon.
And it's a zero-sum budget, too.
Yeah, they can never overspend. It hurts them to do. And so to keep it balanced, they have to be really clever. That means, hey, let's not hit Terra first, per se. Let's go around it and hit something else. Or, wow, that world is horrifying. Throw whatever we need to deal with that, because it'll cripple everything else in the sector.
Do you think the Tyranids are depositing into high-yield stocks and a Roth IRA?
Oh, I promise you they are. Oh, they have to be, but each dollar is about 10 human lives.
It's just in. Average human life. 10 cents.
According to the Tyranids, because they don't... 10 cents. They have zero concept of money. They are all... It's this big cosmic game of thousands of ants counting beans. Just a whole nest of them counting beans, and the gene stealers represent their soft power. Which is something you don't see very often in 40K. 40K is very might makes right.
Yeah,
it's.
I mean, the closest you get to soft power is honestly the Assassinorum, and even they are pretty.
They have a man.
I would call them less soft power and more very pinpoint power.
They have a guy on ice with every drug imaginable coursing through his veins.
Aside from that.
You did forget about that. Cool. The gene stealers are very refreshing.
But I mean, you still have the venenum and the...
We never see them. They don't count. I'll count them when they get a book.
I was also going to say, not the Calexus, the...
Calidus.
Snipers?
Yeah, they have a book.
So no, not the snipers. The shapeshifters with the long red ponytails.
Oh, no, the Vindicare are the snipers. I'm sorry.
Vindicare are the snipers. Yeah, the I knew it was a V. Their names are so...
So much fun.
They're so much fun.
I will give you the Calexus is. I'll give you that.
Those are soft power.
It's pretty soft. The Vindicare is also pretty soft in the way, like...
No, I would call the Vindicare... Like I said, the Vindicare are very pinpoint power. They're not going to, like, punch you. They're just going to, like...
I mean, your skull is going to be soft after they're done, so soft power.
No, it's not going to be soft. It's just going to be chunky marinara.
Oh, dear. but the gene stealers are very refreshing. They're very nice, cool drink when you look at 40K, because they rarely come into outright combat. We'll get to that. Don't worry. They rarely, before Gen 5, let me add a quick note. Rarely before Gen 5 get into outright combat, because I'll be honest, if they're caught, even after they have Keller Morphs, if they're caught by Marines or an Inquisitor, it's kind of over, dude. It's such a wash. For them to win, they have to have already won, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're very, very, very slow.
Yes, the goal is it never comes to outright combat until they're fully ready. They shoot to sell such a compelling product that the most successful cults have people in it working for it that are not actively spliced into it. Like, the most successful gene stealer cults have normal people who just think, yeah, the Emperor should have forearms. That's fine. Normal.
The gene stealers are like the businessmen in the 20s and 30s who are selling you asbestos and, you know, not being around to see the...
Well, they didn't know
the mesothelioma advertisements in the early 2000s.
They didn't know back then. Plus, that stuff was like super inflammable. So, like, I mean, think about it. Wasn't there a king who had a whole...
If asbestos didn't kill us, it'd be a wonder material.
It'd be used in so many more things if it wasn't the most lethal thing. Well, it's not the most lethal thing ever, but it's up there.
If it did not kill us, so good.
My favorite is that king who had a whole tablecloth made of the stuff, and he'd just be like, see? Doesn't catch fire! He died of a weird lung disease that we've only just recently identified.
Well, if I remember correctly...
No, he had a cape of asbestos!
Yeah, it was a cape.
That he would throw into the fireplace for, a show.
If I remember correctly,
it was kind of like a magic material back then.
Back in Victorian era England, there was not Victorian, earlier than Victorian, 17th to 18th century England, there was a trend among the aristocracy that you would put your wine, your red wine specifically, in lead cups because it gave it a very sparkly and
I've heard
tingly flavor.
Do not try this at home. I've heard lead tastes good. Don't verify this for me. Please, do not verify this for me. I'm begging you.
Colonial era Brits were drinking drinking wine out of lead cups.
I have heard from one of the less bright individuals I know in my life that lead does in fact taste good.
Who?
I'm not gonna say their name now. They watch this. They know who they are.
I think I do.
No, there's no way you do. I think. Jeez. Anyway, it's either lead. It's something you really shouldn't be drinking. I'll have to verify.
It's probably lead.
I'll text them after this. In the most convoluted of gene stealer cults, like that segue.
Jeez. No, I'm still shell shocked over eating lead.
I didn't say eating. I just said he knows it tastes good. Don't blame me.
He's only... Licking. I don't know.
Yeah. In the most convoluted of gene stealer cults, you're not just helping them unwittingly. You're not just putting up posters and recruiting. You can be part of a complicated chain. Okay. There's a Gen 6. We'll get to that. Don't worry. Gen 6 is... Don't worry. We'll get to that. Gen 6 is the River Rubicon.
What's the point? At this point, we won.
You'll see. You'll see. We'll get to that later.
We won.
We'll get to that later. That's why I said they don't like to get into open combat before Gen 5. Gen 6 is coming. There's combat art of gene stealers. Where do you think that comes in?
Okay.
We'll get to that. but the way it works is it's very odd because once you cross over to Gen 6, there's kind of no... I mean, Gen 6, there's no coming back. It's River Rubicon. So if a gene stealer world, for example, is just putting out the signal and Tyranids aren't showing up, well... We can't really do our whole routine yet.
We got to get this job done ourselves.
Yeah.
Somehow.
And so sometimes they will actively use people in this convoluted scheme to stay intentionally at Gen 5. Where it's like, you don't even know what's going... You don't know that you are a cog in a machine. You just keep getting approached by really hot people to have kids. You just keep doing it. And you have no idea that you're just kind of being used to... water down to effectively just water things down for a little bit until we're ready. Yeah, they play with Punnett squares, they know.
This is actually full on. This is what your crazy conspiracy theorist uncle thinks society is like.
You can be actively used for selective breeding and you don't know a thing. That's how good they are at their jobs. In a universe where might makes right, they are so nice. Because they just speak softly and carry a big tongue.
Ew.
I love butchering historical quotes.
Gross.
It's actually part of why I like the Tao too. I find them, I quite like the Tao. I find them refreshing. Relative, it's nice to see them try. I'll be honest, it's kind of nice to watch them fail too, because they will always approach with a smile and an open hand, and so often do they just catch a fat fist for it. And sometimes it's kind of nice. I won't love it. I'm here for it. It's nice when not everyone is immediately I will kill you, you know, or there are different brands of I will kill you. You know, where the Eldar don't really kill you out of spite. It's more like you're in the way.
Like,
I wish you wouldn't.
It's nice to know that if I were to fall asleep and wake up in the middle of a field in Warhammer 40K, there'd be somebody who, instead of impaling me on the ground with a chainsword would hold out a hand and help me up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, depending on where you land, somebody will... You may get a commissar to help you up. And join the army. So sometimes a helping hand sucks.
Why are you laying down, recruit?
Yeah.
Up! Where is your armor?
The Gene Stealers have something that not any of the other more soft-spoken factions have too, which is they can get into some weird high-level asymmetrical warfare. Because look, rogue traders, they can get into some convoluted trade wars and stuff. That's cool. The Tau can get into weird diplomatic spats and stuff. The Eldar can do the same between Craftworld. That all happens. It doesn't matter. But the Gene Stealers are the only faction, to my knowledge, who can actively be working against something and fight tooth and claw for it. Because they're at Gen 5. It's taken them so long to build up this level of clout. They're the Pope now. And there are orcs arriving.
I took so long dealing with this, getting to this point. You are not going to screw this up for me.
And so you will get this weird and fun situation that I need more books written about, where it's orcs, necrons, chaos, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's not the Tyranids that have now arrived and will destroy the planet. And so you have the Patriarch in the sewers playing this weird game of war with the general it's created and the psychers it's created, where it's leading an amazing defense of this world, but not too amazing of a defense, so that nobody catches on, that everyone's in. Because think about it, if you're in an army and everyone is lockstep turn, and you're not that in sync,
the Inquisitor from Offworld is going to look at you like.
And so I love the concept of the Patriarch in the sub basement, just, all right, everyone snap to the left, shoot that down, and three of you need to die now. Or the actual human leadership scattered in with the Gene Stealer leadership is giving commands that the Patriarch knows are stupid and its generals know are stupid. It's like, follow them. Just follow. No, here's just, no. Here's the thing.
Just make it look natural.
No. Follow them. And when this person loses it, I'll make sure his boss fires the hell out of him, and then we'll have somebody else in charge. It's good. It's fine. It's okay. It's okay. We can make more kids, guys. This is within acceptable parameters. And I can only imagine a Gene Stealer commissar just, I need to shoot some of you to blend in.
With it,
you three. Go.
I can just imagine the Patriarch in the basement with a headache trying to sort all of that.
But this out. This also goes to show how intelligent a Patriarch can get at its height, because it can do it.
Oh, listen. Mm-hmm. It's an actual like acting task to
it is acting, be bad it is at strategizing.
No. I mean, like, it is hard for actors who are trained actors to act badly on purpose. Mm-hmm. And this is now, we're asking the Patriarchs to do that.
To do that on 10 different stages at once.
Yeah.
While maybe an Inquisitor's watching if it's bad enough. And if it doesn't do its job right, well, when the Tyranids arrive, there'll be nothing here, and I will be responsible for starving off a Hive fleet. So they do it. Because if they don't, there'll be nothing left for the Hive when they arrive. Some alliteration there. Sometimes it's the other way around, where there's plenty left. They don't get into this weird situation where they have to defend their food. But there's no Hive to come and collect.
So they just kind of chill?
I mean, it happens. Sometimes Hive fleets bump into Space Marines, dude. Or they bump into the wrong Eldar. Or they inadvertently will endanger an Eldar craft world 10 years from now, so they must die for it. And so they go. Or they get in the middle of an orc war, and so they must go. Like, things do kill them. There's a whole line in the middle of the galaxy. There were Hive fleets moving through there. They are now gone.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
And so,
drives me to a point of just like, this. Could that be... The Imperium is not against exterminating worlds just to make a firewall for Tyranids to not come in.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Okay, one person in the Imperium is not okay with that. Let's be fair.
Let's
be fair to the most brutal regime imaginable.
What is the harm In letting a world fall to gene stealers, if you know about it, just to use as bait for a Tyranid hive fleet to use all of its resources to fly in, and then exterminatus it at the last minute, the Tyranids are now starving, fall in.
That requires the Imperium to, A, share all the information they have on every source, like on every front, which does not happen. They never, one of the most infuriating things about the Imperium is one guy will make a discovery and keep it to himself. So the guy who realized, hey, we can create dead zones for the Tyranids by blowing them up is not telling the guy who realized the Gene Stealers are an advanced fleet for the Tyranids, who's not telling the guy that the Tyranids use the Gene Stealers to navigate. It's a horrific organization.
I see.
Horrific miscommunication. And then B, let's say you can do all of that because there's a competent head at the helm now. It's not easy to kill a hive fleet. I really undersold it when I said, oh, they'll bump into Marines, or, oh, they'll bump into... No.
I mean, that's why I say, like, starve them out, getting them to a place, mm-hmm. and then exterminatus that place so they have no food, and mm-hmm. now they're starving.
And then the big problem number C, that happens about 4 times. The Tyranids have changed tactics now.
I see.
This is like, okay, you figure this out. Moving on.
Okay. Okay.
It's a real.
So maybe this strategy would be a great single novel, and then
It's a solid strategy that could really work if anyone ever shared in 40K. God, it's the most infuriating thing.
Did
sometimes.
Nobody teach the commissars sharing is caring?
God, well, some commissars. Inquisitors definitely didn't get that info. They did not get that sticky note. In fact, I would say if you share, you will never be an Inquisitor. Ever. It's almost impossible to. You have to be kind of...
You have to hold some secrets for yourself?
Kind of a psychopath. Kind of. You can't really play well with society on a wider scale. Some do, but not many. But yeah, there are situations where hives just don't arrive for dinner. Dad goes out for milk and never comes back. And in that case, the Gene Stealers will kind of stay in Gen 5, bouncing around, trying desperately to manage there. That as they continue to expand, basically, just taking more and more positions of power. This can get to the point where an entire world is effectively controlled by them. They have the planetary government and everyone who really matters. They have their own elections that they'll win and lose, but like they didn't really win or lose.
Did they?
It's a hidden uniparty kind of a thing where it's like, yeah, candidate B lost, but candidate A is voting for the same things.
Did everybody really lose?
Yeah, did candidate B really lose? Or like, they can get into some sketchy business. And so what they will do from there is they'll start going from world to world in local areas, and they can take over entire sectors, creating this hidden Tyranid empire within an empire.
Hmm.
And the nicest thing about it is they are so efficient, no Imperial bureaucrat will ever question it.
Hmm.
Because the Imperium is so used to looking at a planet when it doesn't pay its taxes or it's moving at half speed. That planet is now doing double what it used to.
It's doing great. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave it alone now.
And honestly, if the High Fleet never shows up, that's the worst case scenario. Because we'll get to Gen 6 later. That's pretty bad. It's pretty apocalyptic. But if they just stay here, continuing to build this empire within an empire, it is why I have the subtle tinfoil hat conspiracy theory that the Imperium's already lost.
Because they could just be so deeply infiltrated with Gene Stealers.
Okay. Every world has to pay a tithe, either in money, resources, or bodies, right?
They are paying in bodies, and those bodies are intermixing with everybody else, and now...
They will always pay the Imperial tithe, and they shag at such a rate that they can pay it in spades with interest.
Oh, no.
And so God knows how many guards' regiments are filled with them.
Oh, no.
And that's before we get to the fact that some worlds have been improved under their leadership and now produce medicine that goes to the wider Imperium. Food that goes to the wider Imperium.
So, the credence to that conspiracy theory, yeah.
And the icing on the cake?
Yeah.
The Imperium eats corpse starch. It's a safe bet that there's at least one factory run by the Gene Stealers that's churning that stuff out. How many bugs do you eat in a year again?
Spider's Greg.
And that's why I and that's something I would really like the Imperium to deal with at some point. Just the shocking realization that, oh God.
Like half of our leadership is gene stealers.
Because it's not impossible that someone on the High Lords is a gene stealer.
That would be an awesome, like, murder mystery novel.
I hope so.
Like a...
I hope so. I know GW watches these somehow. So.
I want to see Knives Out, but with the High Lords.
It would be, oh, they're all geezers. So it'd be like Knives Out, but 9 hours long with prune juice. Like, they're all geezers, man.
It's to be fair, have you seen Knives Out?
No, I haven't.
Most of the cast is geezers.
Kit Batista's not a geezer. Come on.
The first one. Not Glass Onion.
Daniel Craig's not a geezer either. He's just retired off of being Bond. I wish I could retire off of being Bond.
At least 50% of the cast is geezers.
Okay, fair enough. I need to watch it. I probably should watch it. Yet another one on the list of movies I should watch.
It's very good. I love Knives Out.
And you may think that that's kind of conspiratorial or insane, but gene stealer cults have popped up on Earth.
How'd they get there?
I mean, they were there on the Golden Throne tour. They have a selfie with that one tall chair. Yep. There's art of custodies fighting them off. Which means they've interacted with custodies. The group that steals genetic matter. Do you see what I mean about how...
It may just already be Jover.
These guys, like, everyone thinks the Tyranids are the problem. Yeah, sure, whatever. I think that's worse.
See, this is the thing about 40K that's just, like, so weird to me is everybody dreads the end times, but I'm just like...
It's already begun.
It's one, the end times have already become. It just... There are so many checks that are happening. Mm-hmm. This is multidimensional chess with time travel. There are so many kings in check here. Mm-hmm. We don't know which one's going to checkmate. Mm-hmm. It's just like, which storyline could this go down? How many people are going to just up and ugh? How many? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. It's a mystery. James, your workshop. What are you going to do?
I find it compelling. I really do. But that is kind of the
threat. I think it really feeds into the grim dark of it. Because just like, oh yeah, the end is inevitable, but just which way?
This is without me mentioning the fact that there are chaos gods. They are probably vaguely aware of this. One of them commands pestilence. One of them can see the past and the future. Both those guys probably know this is happening. Who's to say they've let it slide? Who's to say they haven't made it worse? I love it so much. Potential for problems they represent.
Listen,
that cannot be understated.
Doomering is not valid unless you live in 40K.
This is why I love that one image of Gilman smoking. Because I don't know how you...
Because he's probably thought about this too.
Yeah. How do I even... I can't. I won't. Problem for later. That's an unknown. What we do know is there is Gen 6 if... And when the Hive does come to collect, because they do like to come and collect.
At what point is it too much? Gen 5, you already won. Is this a victory lap?
Yes. Okay. All the gene stealer genes that were recessive up at this point come in full bore. So the next generation after 5, like regular people, will give birth to hard Tyranids.
So this is...
Regular looking people. They're still gene stealers.
Literally just is the chest burster saying. Yes.
And at this point, they're coming out of every wall, out of every surface. They are everywhere. The best way to describe it is they are a plan generations in the making.
They're in your walls.
That's another quote by them, by the way. We are the plan generations in the making.
That is frighteningly hard.
Right? Everywhere. Nothing is working properly. Every cell phone tower is shut down. This is the part we mentioned in the Tyranid episode. Everything else hadn't been mentioned. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the one thing we went over in the Tyranid episode. Do you see why, I feel like such a conspiracy theory sometimes with the red strings everywhere tying all this together? And B, why I also love it? Because zoom in and... You missed all of that before. None of that was mentioned.
Yeah.
This is the part you know.
Yeah.
Where they're coming out of every single orifice, every single place. They've shut down everything. You realize everyone in charge was a Tyranid. Oh, God, I was recruiting for them. And as this is happening, you look to the skies, and the Four-Armed Emperor has arrived. Four-Armed Emperor. In all his glory. And it's... At this point, there's a couple ways this could shake down. It could be the full bore, just surface war that breaks out and you lose immediately. Some cults break into this religious frenzy because they do take different forms depending on where they are. Religion is real convenient, so they will often be religious and they'll see them as the Four-Armed Emperor, the Star Children, those from beyond It That Gazes.
It That Gazes.
They have so many fun names for the Tyranids.
My God.
I'm telling you, these guys could write Macbeth. They're very good at this. And so they have different ways they react. The more zealous ones, it's a frenzy. It's like sharks freaking out, effectively. Oh my God, my lord is here. I must put on my best show.
Well, I imagine they start feeling the shadow and the warp, and they start freaking out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And the nice thing about them is they don't need the bodies intact, because it'll all be melted anyway. So they'll just start ripping through everything. There is no discretion. Nothing. Nothing. They will.
It makes sense logistically.
It gets messy. Pressure washer messy.
Pressure washer
messy. I wouldn't be surprised if they aren't bioforms. Just direct it back into the pool. I wouldn't be surprised if the Tyranids had to develop something like that, because you look at some of the art of the Gene Stealers rising up.
It bad.
At least it would be quick. At least it would be, oh my God, they're in my window.
And then you're gone, and you're already...
They're so freakishly strong. They're so freakishly fast. A bunch of Gen 1s are running around slaughtering. Like, you just die so fast. You don't stand a chance. Your phone doesn't work. You don't know where your wife is. Like, it's 10 a.m. Do you know where your kids are? Like, it's over. You've lost.
And then suddenly you're already dead and in a nutrient pool, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's the most spectacular way it can go. That's the way it often goes. My favorite is there are some cults that are a little bit calmer. They've... I couldn't verify if this is true. I couldn't find the book source. So take this with a grain of salt. But I did read about this cult that had styled itself as, I believe they called themselves the Observers of Nihilism or something like that. It's very hard Nietzsche. And when the Tyranids arrived, there was no adulation. There was no screaming. There was no great slaughter. They just calmly all stood up and walked into acid pits.
Oh. Oh, okay. Okay.
They accepted it. They're nihilists.
I wouldn't even call that full Nietzsche. That's like full cosmic horror. Like, imagine you're going about your Sunday and suddenly the sky turns black and a pit of acid opens up in town center. And you just watch a bunch of, like, hooded robed people just walking in.
Okay, you think you're watching them? These are the most charismatic people you've ever met. They have convinced you, and they've spent generations convincing you, and they've written texts convincing you that this is how it's supposed to go. The Emperor is finally here and we must go rejoin him.
Oh. You're not watching from your window.
You're not watching from your window. You're celebrating.
You're in the
this
line.
This is your rapture.
You're in the line.
And that's the most jacked up thing, too. I hadn't even considered that. They could style the Tyranids coming as the rapture.
Oh.
They like, if Tyranids were on our world right now, they could totally rewrite it. So instead of, I believe it's trumpet sounding, some seals breaking, something with multiple heads. Like, there's a lot to the rapture. You can't miss it when it starts. If the Gene Stealers are here, they'd totally rewrite that. And it would involve acid pits and no beams of light. And people would do it. That's the sketchiest thing. Like, we always see the Gene Stealer art of them sprouting out everywhere and ripping through everything. We don't get to see enough of their just cold calculation. Where it's like, we've done our jobs.
It's time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, frightening. That's so...
It gets even more frightening when you consider that the Tyranids will... I don't know how I feel about this, but it's canon, so I will mention it. The Tyranids will, as you are descending into the acid pits, which, judging by this description, I'm assuming it's quite the fall. Like, it's not just... Because I always thought it's kind of like you walk in and it's like a...
The liquid's right there.
The liquid's right there. You walk in, you're dissolving as you go. And by the time you're like midway through the kiddie pool, you're gone. Right? That's how I always pictured it. But the painting, this picture...
the picture that this is painting.
Thank you. The picture that this is painting is, it's more like a leap into like a crater almost. You have like a good minute before you impact. Mm-hmm. And then I have to wonder, is it really the acid killing you, or the fact that when you fall past a certain amount, it's like you hit concrete.
You hit concrete, you know? Yeah.
Regardless, there are some instances where as you're falling, they'll flip a switch and you'll be aware of everything you've done.
Oh.
Like all the brainwashing will just wear off.
Oh, that's insidious.
Yep.
Oh, no.
I will be honest, I'm kind of not a fan of that.
No. That's like too grim. That's like giving BoJack Horseman the view from halfway down.
No, because, okay, here's my thing. Here's the couple problems it has. Number one, plan generations in the making. You snap. Okay, cool. I've known this since birth. I was born into this religion. This is my end times.
Unless they suddenly take the psychic effort to snap
and show you everything, you this plan fully from and then before. You go, oh God, I've been played.
Yeah. Right?
And then B, if
no,
they are,
it's not. I've been played. My dad's been played. My dad's dad's been played. My dad's 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 been played. My dad's 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 been played. My dad's dad's.
And then you have this image of your mom getting like just Gen 1
tongue thing.
Yeah. So that's overly cruel. But and number two, the Tyranids are always billed as the horror of nature. It's, don't get me wrong, something real scary about something meticulously planning to kill you. That's always horrifying. However, there is also some true horror to the bear that eats you alive.
And just does not care.
And it's, there's no malice in that bear's heart. It does not care. It is, you came here right before I had to hibernate and there were no fish, buddy.
There is nutrients in you. There should be and nutrients there's in
some
me.
There's some real, genuine horror there to be had, where it's just, you're still on the food chain. You know, it's the same way. Do you spite every chicken you grab from Costco? Really? Do you bother to show footage of the ducks getting saved from the oil spills? Yeah, or do you just eat it thoughtlessly?
That's too much effort.
It's too much effort. If I sat there and coached my whole burger through what it could have been,
the Tyranids are very animal logic. Like, I eat nutrients, I get nutrients.
Yeah.
You would have to be an actual sociopath.
It's
to walk into like a chicken. Like factory farming is awful. We know that the chickens are probably in 1x1 containers, right? You'd have to be an actual just like sociopath to walk into all of these chickens and show them a screen of you going generation by generation enslaving.
But that's
chickens.
Basically what that's basically what that source but purports
that's,
they
that's,
do.
That's what I
and
that's
like,
what I mean.
It makes sense to me.
It kind of breaks the character of the Tyranids, because the Tyranids are just they're the bear that eats you and doesn't care.
Would you personally build a factory farm for cows and ensure all day every day they watch footage of, like, you know, the Brahmin that are worshipped in other parts of the country?
Yeah.
Where it's this animal that gets revered and gets to roam around and it's great and it's fantastic. Would you bother to show that
Why?
To them?
What's the point?
What's the point? It's so malicious. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, go burn down an orphanage at that rate. Mustache twirling. It's like, go tie someone to train tracks.
You'd get more joy out of that, honestly. Maybe this is one of those they've ascribed to the Gen X millennial art of acquiring suffering. They get the passive income suffering.
Maybe it adds flavor. I don't know. The nice thing about 40K is you can ascribe to whatever you want. If you prefer the petty Tyranids, or that's not fair. The more malicious Tyranids who show you everything that they have done before they eat you, go for it. Go for it.
I don't.
If you
understand.
Prefer the more unfeeling, just jump into the pit.
Cosmic horror. You don't know why they're doing this. Mm-hmm. It could just be as simple as you have nutrients. I need nutrients. Give me nutrients.
Yeah. And this also ties into the biggest problem I have with the gene stealers, because after all the losers in the cult kit jumped in, they jump into the acid pits too. That's it. It's a wrap. They die. Goo.
It's done. Goo.
Yep. Ashes to ash. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust.
And then Tyranid hive ship in orbit just goes...
Sucks it right up.
Through a straw and it's over.
Yeah.
It's
and that kind of sucks, because the gene stealers cannot win. Canon.
They're...
Because if the Tyranids never come, they technically lost. And if the Tyranids do come, they still lose. And if they get spotted by the Imperium, they still lose. And if you write about them and have them do uprisings everywhere, then that means the Tyranids are going to be everywhere, and they still loot. There's no... Like, it's hard to love a faction when there's no win condition.
The Gene Stealers are a tool rather than a faction. They are the spider's venom liquefying the inside of its prey rather than the spider itself.
And this is the part, because in every episode I do like to mention the downsides to the faction. That's a huge downside for them. They will never catch a win. And honestly, there are some people who do prefer the version of them where it wasn't a hard Tyranid thing per se, but more like this creature that's in a symbiotic relationship with the Tyranids, where, like, you know those fish that stick onto predators and they will clean their teeth in exchange. Well, the predator gets clean teeth and no infections. The mm-hmm. fish get free food.
Yeah.
And they both tolerate each other.
Yeah.
I kind of prefer that variant of them where they're just this thing that... Because some hive fleets will, like, not melt them and instead just kind of let them attach to the ships, like the way those parasites do, and just kind of float around with them.
Just like, come aboard. We'll drop you off at the next planet and you can restart.
And I love the concept of the hive fleet with tiny little leeches effectively stuck to it. Just like, these, look at those little guys. Look at those little goons. They did their thing. And that gives them a hard win condition now because it's like... The parasite got to eat clean the predator's teeth.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. And so some people do like that. I can see why they do. I kind of like that too.
I kind of like that.
But yeah. I also do really like this perfect cog evolved over time that fixes every problem.
Them being a tool rather than becoming a...
Because if you think about it, they also... It's not just that they soften up the meal before the... It's not just the venom, but they are the web too. Because the Tyranids suck at traveling. They have possibly the worst form of travel, period. Its speed changes depending on the rider. Its effects changes depending on the rider. What we do know is it's definitely slower than the Imperium and the Eldar and maybe even the Tau, too. They are awful at getting places, not to mention they also suck at navigation.
Yeah, they need the bright light of... here I am, a bunch of gene stealers, like, ready to get eaten.
A hive fleet can genuinely expend the massive resources it takes to get somewhere. Dead world.
And
now
then, what do we do now?
Next world over, Ultramar. Well, we can't take great. that on an empty stomach. Like,
well, at that point, wouldn't they just get desperate and go?
I mean, they'd try, but McCrag is some crack, dude. This is just not...
I don't know. If I'm a starving Tyranid and the only planet nearby with sustenance on it is McCrag, fuck it, Weeball.
That is like, I am a starving artist. I shall rip the food out of the rock's mouth to survive. And I'm like, it's not going to end well for you. Like, you're malnourished, honey. Go find someone else.
If the rock is the only person around.
I mean, I suppose if you have 5 feet worth of movement left in you, D&D style rules, where after if that 6th foot will kill me, then yeah, I suppose if the rock is the only one there, you
I
go
mean,
for
that,
it.
That's what I mean. It's just like, there's nothing else. Might as well. Might as well try.
Oh, so they fix so many problems for the Tyranids that I can really see both sides of the argument. The other problem I really have with them is it's very tell, don't show. We know that they've been infecting the Imperium's medicine. Haven't seen that pan out. We know they've been contributing guardsmen at an alarming rate. Haven't seen that really pan out. We know that they found a way to put their genes in seeds. Haven't really seen that pan out.
I don't know. Maybe James and his workshop are just stacking dominoes to, like, pile onto the Imperium at some point.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because there are so many other things that we've talked about, too, that just could be the end of the Imperium immediately.
It's just another one, yeah. And the nice thing about the Gene Stealers is the Imperium works best when they have another problem to solve. Because it kind of falls apart if they don't have an external problem. The most brutal regime imaginable will kind of collapse in on itself if it's not fighting everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah.
And so some of the Imperium's best moments are when their back is against the wall. So the Gene Stealers do a very good job of that, and I really hope they get more of that as well. Regardless, though, at the end of the day, they're in this... The Gene Stealers occupy a very odd place as written right now, where they're fantastic. They fix a lot of the problems for the Tyranids, and they kind of mesh so well together that it
They're basically the same. They're so symbiotic that they're basically the same organism.
Yeah, it's a match made in heaven. But they also have a, or not in heaven. It's a match made somewhere. Yeah, but they also have a bunch of glaring problems that cheapen them at times. And that's before me even getting into the fact that on the tabletop, it gets worse.
It gets worse on the tabletop?
Okay, because it's one of those things where if you have a bad Gene Stealer player, they suck. It's awful, and it's not worth even trying.
Oh, it's a very high skill ceiling.
But if you have a good Gene Stealer player, it doesn't feel fair.
High skill floor.
It doesn't feel fair at all. High skill ceiling is what it would...
High skill ceiling is when you can...
The ceiling and the floor are very high.
Yeah. And the room is above you. Yes. You have to jump up to
it. So the best of the best make them feel just unfair. And then the worst is... You don't really get to play them very much. And then on top of all of that, they're a horde army too.
Oh, so you have to buy a bunch of models.
Ladies and gentlemen, open up that wallet. It gets expensive quick.
It's the guardsmen, but with more challenge. Which, I mean, if you like the guardsmen.
Oh, the guardsmen are challenging.
Are they?
You have to roll a lot of dice. You have to roll a lot of dice.
Yes, the challenge for guardsmen players is carpal tunnel.
I mean, you got to remember, they do a very good job of showing how feeble the single guardsman is when you just see how many dice they roll. It's really weird.
Listen, I have a bunch of D6. I think I got like a 36 D6 pack.
You would need more.
I would need more. I would need to buy like 3 or 4 of those.
I think 36 would be fine. I don't play the guard, but I think 36 would be fine.
I've seen people playing... like the Necrons, and they would need to roll like 36d6. Yeah. So if that's the Necrons, hold the guardsmen.
Yeah, the feeling that I'm left with most of the Gene Stealers is the fact that it's not done yet. I mean, there's this feeling of there's an empire within an empire, and it's this thing that has a bunch of soft power, and you feel it more than you see it, and we never, ever... experience it.
We don't see them do it.
There's not many stories of, oh my, you know, like you have Gene Stealers that have taken over planets and are contributing guardsmen at an alarming rate. And in theory, on paper, that means at least one world has been fighting the Tyranids, requested reinforcements, and then Gene Stealers arrive. There's so much. There are governors who've unwittingly spread around the Gene Stealers just because, oh my god, the workers from this planet are so efficient. We need to get them to teach other people how they're doing this, and so on and so forth. And so there's so many things that they could be doing that they just aren't yet. I've not even touched on the Eldar stuff. I haven't touched on the Orc stuff. I haven't touched on the Chaos stuff because.
Do they have their own brand of Gene Stealer?
What? Do you know the Gene Stealers are a human problem only?
It's funny.
Do you have jeans?
That's funny.
Are you wearing Levi's? And can they be stolen? That's all they ask.
Good luck getting them on my feet. These shoes are the worst shoes I've ever had.
Yeah. But that does wrap it up for the I can't believe you committed that hard to the bit. That does wrap it up for the Gene Stealers this episode.
Listen, if I had jean socks, I'd be wearing them too. Yeah. I had to dig around for the jean shirt. The jean jacket, I actually wear this because I legitimately like this piece. Of course I have blue jeans because everybody has blue jeans. But nobody expected.
Oh, brother.
That's an awful, horrendous sound. The jean shoes. Nobody expected them.
Yeah.
And trust me, I didn't expect them either. They were a gift. And frankly, I should have regifted them.
Well, you own them now.
I own them now, and I can't get rid of them. They will probably outlast me.
So be it. Well, today, though, we do have one more segment because we have mail.
We have mail.
Yes.
We have a lot of mail.
Oh, God. Is it a lot?
Well...
I say, oh, ish. God. Okay, all right. Because you came back with a massive box that's just out of frame.
I did come back with a massive box.
And I don't know what's in it, so we're going to open that while the credits roll. Because...
I know what's in it because I open everything when I receive it. Because, you know, sorry to be paranoid, but I want to be in a public place when something gets opened.
Fair enough. Jesus Christ.
This is a huge box.
Hmm.
And listen. I know it's in it, and I appreciate the gift, but every viewer is going to see that the item within this box is, like, not even an eighth the size of the box.
Overkill. Stuff gets thrown. I have worked for companies where we had to ship stuff, and I've seen what happens.
And people just, like, toss.
Like, and it's not like I'm listen, FedEx, UPS, USPS workers, they have so much to do every day. And if a box is chuckable, sure, why not? You know, if it seems sturdy enough and I have to do 100 of these every day, just like, chuck the box. I've seen my Amazon driver hustling, like, full bore running. It's not easy.
I've seen videos of Amazon drivers, and it's not like it's an individual thing. I've seen several just like,
I mean, they just have packages. Think about how much stuff you have shipped today, and then multiply that by every human being ever, and then add businesses into that too. And you realize there's a lot of work. I don't blame them for overpackaging it, because if underpackaging is usually the problem.
I same day delivered by accident, because I was hitting the buttons, and then said, "Oh, same day delivery." And by same day delivery, I mean
like 4 a.m. that morning.
No. I ordered this item at 11 a.m. I received it at 4 p.m.
Yep. Same day delivery, baby. It's great.
And I didn't realize that this would not be a person in an Amazon van. This would just be a guy in their own car, because somebody drives by doing like 45 in a residential, which is 25 in America. Doing 45 and a 25 and stopping like right in front of my house, running up to my porch, and then dropping the package at my door, and then running back to their car.
I've never had that happen at my place.
I'll and I can tell this was their car, because you know that picture of Nicki Minaj saluting to the flag?
For the they had conversational
their
say, yes.
back their back windshield was Nicki Minaj saluting in front of them.
What a real patriot. All right, let's get this opened up. And then there's another thing behind me.
Which we also know what that
is. I know what that one is.
We pulled it out of the package. Like I said, I open everything at the USPS.
Yes. Overpackaging, though, if you're going to send stuff, overpackaging, way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Better than under. Specifically, it's like if it's irreplaceable or something, then easily overpackaging it is. Do you want to move the microphone out of the way? So you're not like
no.
Oh, okay.
And this is going to be funny.
Wait a minute. Oh, I mean, shove that off. I won't. Hold on. That is really cool.
I love this.
That is really cool.
It is really, really cool. I love this. And
now I want to get an ultramarine helmet for the desk.
Oh my god.
And oh my god.
You have a whole ultra shelf.
I do have a whole ultra shelf. I'm biased as hell. This is known. But also, I will take infinite credit, because the ultramarine episode isn't even my favorite episode, fun fact. And it wasn't even twice as long as every other episode. It could have been worse.
It could have been.
I pride myself on being the state-sponsored hype man for everyone.
There is a note on the back.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, from JQ, number 5,000-ish, on Patreon. See you all at 40,000 followers. And now it's upside down.
No, I think that's a 10.
That says 40.
Oh, well, this has been in the mail forever, then.
I think he means, like, 40,000 Patreon followers.
Oh, well, that would be fantastic.
That makes sense.
There are tiny things written
there
on.
There are tiny Hold notes on. Written all over it, and like some of them are so cute.
I have a state-mandated hype man on my shoulder. I visit Katachan now. Hold on. I see Trazen. There are levels to this piece.
The Trazen is reaching for Kane's Alpharius chainsword.
Was here. Okay.
Hold on, where is Alpharius is here?
There's so much to this. Oh, yeah. this is one of my favorite things I've ever had mailed.
There's awesome.
A planet blowing up in the background. Wait, I just noticed that.
Did you not notice the Exterminatus in the background?
No, I totally didn't. And like a good hype man, I'm completely ignoring that. Oh my god, this is...
Hold on, I need to figure out
we
what
will
I
make sure there are some good
here.
There are some good pans of this. That's fantastic.
Does this say Ken lives?
Yeah, Ken lives. Praise the Messiah. Oh, that is great. Thank you so much for sending this in.
I love this.
I wish it would fit in a box, but I will figure out.
We need to figure out how to fit this into a box.
I don't think it can fit into a box, but I will find a way to put it.
We'll figure out how to get it onto the set.
Worst case scenario, it'll be like on the way into the set, because I like seeing stuff like this. But thank you so much.
This is
awesome. That is so cool. And we also got sent in. Was this by the same person?
No, it was a different person that sent that in. It didn't come with a note. It was like literally just like this in a package. And I don't even know who sent it because it was an Amazon package.
Usually we get notes. Usually there are DMs about it.
Because when people send us things directly through Amazon, which is a surprisingly frequent occurrence, Amazon allows you to put in like a gift note.
Frequently enough, it's kind of upsetting our postmaster.
Yeah.
That's a good problem to have.
It
you guys are great.
Yeah. But yeah, just, I don't know who sent this.
It's the StarCraft field manual.
You know who you are.
There may be a note in the book. Actually, I haven't looked through it.
Maybe
I do love StarCraft,
though. I have noticed. I've like flipped through this earlier.
Oh, that's tight.
Flipped through this earlier, and it's. I thought somebody had actually gone through and notated everything, but the way this is, I can't remember the main character's name, but it's supposed to be flavored as him just going through the note, like every single model of unit, building, and thing, and just going, oh, here's a thing about this.
Love this.
Yeah, I really like this.
Oh, I'm going to need to sit down and read through this. Thank you, guys. So much Thank for sending so this much. Stuff in. That is fantastic. Man, that kind of makes me want to do like an art contest now.
We should do an art contest.
We have a bunch of artists floating around in here.
There's a scary number of artists in our community.
No, it's not scary at all. We have a bunch of talented people who watch us. Dare I say it's a prerequisite? I mean, clearly, it kind of is. But thank you so much for mailing this stuff in. And thank you for watching this episode. We will see you next week for... Something. As well as the new poll, so stay tuned for that.
Patreon will obviously get the recap as they do.
Yeah.
Monthly-ish. Ish seems to be our phrase.
We will see.
It's prevalent enough that it says ish on the back of this.
Okay, whatever.
is that what our first merch drop is going to be? Is ish. Just like -ish on a shirt?
Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for watching this episode, and thank you for being you.